Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're talking about Loki on Disney Plus. Let's go. Listen, we got to get this out of the way right away. From the get-go, if you are listening to this and you have not seen
all six episodes,
all of Loki, all of it, we're going to spoil the crap out of it.
So you got two choices. You can be spoiled if you don't care or don't plan to watch.
Correct.
Or you can hit close out of your podcast app right now.
That's the correct option.
Yeah, so the thing is, all we're talking about is Loki. So you're not going to miss out on what you've been reading, yo. You're not going to miss out on trivia.
There's no comic books or nothing. Yeah. This is Disney Plus Loki.
So it'll be sitting here waiting for you after you've watched the six episodes.
Yeah, and we're just, let's see, what's today, Thursday, July 15th?
I mean, it only happened like 24 hours ago.
Right, so it's still pretty fresh. I'm sure there are plenty of, I know of some people actually. I think I was texting Nick the other day, yesterday, and he says he's not going to get to watch it till this weekend. So if you haven't seen it, we're going to talk about all this juicy stuff that happens and we're going to ruin it for you. Yeah. And then we're going to be that podcast. But really, it's your fault because this is adequate warning.
We're giving you a warning.
Yeah.
We've been warning you for approximately a minute and a half now that we're spoiling Loki.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Also, this is audio only for these minisodes. We will not be uploading those to YouTube. So if you're like, I sometimes have started something on, I did this yesterday with, I was listening to Fat Man Beyond, Kevin Smith, Mark Bernardin. And I thought, I'm going to finish this at home on YouTube because they have both. You don't have that option this week. We wanted to release these as soon as possible. So doing just a classic two-man audio podcast.
Yep.
Three, two, one. Spoilers are now fair game.
It was Agatha all along.
It was Agatha, and she's dating Mephisto. Just kidding.
All right. So we talked a little bit in the beginning, right? We gave our... I should, if I had been a good host, I would have gone back and listened to our Loki episode on the way here.
Yeah, we're going
to... Instead, I was listening to a good friend of the podcast, Ryan, new guy, his Cosmic Campfire podcast. I was listening to that on the way here instead. I should have, which were great to listen to, but I should have because we made predictions. I wonder how many of them were right or close or just dead wrong.
Did I predict, spoiler number one, here we go. Did I predict correctly that Kang would be behind it? Well.
I know you've been telling me.
Yeah.
Telling me about it, like that's... Multiple times, I think you've mentioned that you think that that's a definite possibility. So, yeah, I always kind of wondered.
Right.
I heard some other people mentioning the possibility of it being somebody named Immortus.
Do
you know who that is?
Yeah, he's another big-time villain. I didn't buy into the Immortus thing. So here's some of the theories that I heard and thought, okay, these are probably the most likely. So I'll begin by saying... Everybody speculated the crap out of everything for WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and everybody was wrong about everything. Okay, so I think in a good way that helped me subvert my expectations a little bit for Loki. Like, okay, they're not trying to do Avengers Endgame with every single thing now and bring every crossover to everything. And rightly so, if I stop and think about it for a second, like, okay, they have an opportunity to really expand upon these characters who have not been... the Tony Starks and the Steve Rogers of every movie. So they're not going to do all these crazy crossovers. Even though for once we kind of got one, I would argue, it feels like going forward, spoilers again, Kang is going to be the big bad guy, I think, for a while.
Big bad guys.
Big bad guys, yes. Okay, so let's get into it. I actually already stopped talking about what I was just going to say. The theories I heard that I was like, okay, that's possible. That would make sense and not be too much of a stretch. One of them was that it was going to be a Loki, like a King Loki because, you know, there's like old King Thor.
I was starting to get that feeling towards the end.
Right.
Right until they opened the door. You know, right. I was just like, what if he is the one, he who remains?
Right.
You know, what if it's Loki?
But right. Anyway. So you just mentioned the second one that I heard that I legitimately thought was going to be a possibility, and it technically ended up being it. So He Who Remains is one of those massive cosmic Marvel characters that is just, it's almost, they get to a point where you're like, okay, here's the Avengers, here's the strongest Avengers, here's the cosmic beings, the Galacticae, mm-hmm. and the Silver Surfers and the Heralds and all this stuff, and then you get into the World Eaters and all these things, and then you start getting to like meta characters where they're like the embodiment of creation and, yeah. and meta thought
Speaking
itself.
Of that, well, if you heard me laughing, he said Galacta something, and I started in my mind thinking about what the possible plural of Galactus would be. It was like Galacti, Galactopus. and that's why I started laughing.
Yeah.
But for a minute, and I know it would have been like fan service or whatever, but I would have been okay with it. Mm-hmm. Until they started calling him by the name He Who Remains.
Right.
I wanted them to open the door and it be Stan Lee.
Ah, yeah.
But that
talk
would
about hyper fan service.
That would have not made sense in like no. in the scope of the entirety of everything. Like it yeah. wouldn't have made sense except for maybe it would have been like a deleted scene.
Yeah, you should pocket that for an inevitable what if coverage on this yeah. thing. Yeah. What if it were Stan Lee and they yeah. kind of left that open to be him
yeah.
writing the timeline, which would make sense.
It would make perfect sense. I mean, yeah. it can't be just Stan Lee. There's so many writers, but you know, right. he's kind of
the embodiment of that sort of thing. Yeah. So back on He Who Remains, it was He Who Remains. But I'm going to say the other one that everybody was thinking, and I too was in this camp, was that it was going to be Kang the Conqueror. Now, we'll say that both of those answers were true. He Who Remains was actually who it was, but it was a version of Kang the Conqueror who, instead of going on to be the Conqueror, was in this multiverse, in this universe, He Who Remains. He Who Remains is, and this is canon, the last person at the end of all time, at the end past the void,
okay.
who is responsible for the timekeepers, like creating the timekeepers and keeping the timeline going. So that is comic book accurate. Okay. So they did that, but what they did, and this was so brilliant, I truly enjoyed this. They tied, as they Marveled, they MCU'd it, they tied those two things together. So they let, instead of it being, we're not doing a video, so we won't throw this up on the screen, but take a quick second and Google the Marvel Comics He Who Remains, and it's just like this ancient, old, white-looking guy, you know, doesn't look like Jonathan Majors, who plays He Who Remains / Kang the Conqueror. But they tied those two things together, and it just makes so much sense because of the whole multiverse thing they're doing. Like, if there's a Kang the Conqueror, or if there are many Kang the Conqueror, which we learned is true, going around through time, through all these different universes in this multiverse, it would make sense that if there are an infinite amount of them, that one of them would end up being He Who Remains, who made it to the end of time and is dictating the flow of time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's brilliant. What did you think about that in general?
Well, I didn't have any history with them. Like, I'd never heard He Who Remains. And my only exposure to Kang was the Doctor Doom that we have, that we covered a while back. And what we've talked about. Though I did start to think about it, it made a lot of sense for Kang to be the one to bridge everything together, because, I mean, even just taking the Doctor Doom run that we read, mm-hmm. where he was like, oh, this is, like, he was obviously not just jumping through time, he was jumping through multiverses, because he was like, oh, have you died, or something like that, you know, like, he's obviously, oh, I'm in a timeline where you did this, so he is very versed in everything, so, like,
right.
As soon as I started thinking about that, and he was like, some have called me the Conqueror, I was mm-hmm. just like, okay, that's got to be him. Or I wish I remembered some of the other titles that he tossed out,
yeah.
wondering if those were red herrings for other villains. Like,
right.
They didn't call him, he didn't say that, some call me the Mad Titan, you know.
Right.
Just to, you know, something like that, if there'd been anything else. But I don't have a whole lot of history, like I said, so right. I'm just going off of what you're telling me, and I'm like, I buy it. It makes sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's fair. I mean, when you're talking time travel, do you... I should say, when you're talking multiverse specifically, do you consider if it's a possibility, then it's a multiverse? I moved the cup 1 inch over. Is that an entire new multiverse? But like,
yeah, I mean, I've always thought about it in the confines of if something can happen, then it did happen somewhere.
Right.
And that's why there are literal, like, innumerable, like it would be impossible. Like even this exact second right now, there are 10, 20 billion possible things that branches that could have branched out at this exact moment from Earth alone.
Right.
So, yeah.
So with that, with that thought process, what I'm getting at is that it makes perfect sense that not only a Kang could end up being He Who Remains, but that there's a multiverse or a universe out there where Steve Rogers is He Who Remains or somebody else out there. Like there's so many different versions of these characters, and that's history, that's canon within the comics of them taking on different roles. Like we're going to see in What If eventually a role where Steve Rogers is essentially Iron Man. Like that makes sense. So the fact that I think I'm realizing it now as we're talking about it and digging deep into it, that it feels like a very comic book thing to do. Like and I'm going to look this up in a second. I'm pretty sure that they made it canon that the MCU is a universe inside Marvel Comics. Like, you know, Marvel Comics continuity be 616. I'm pretty sure that Marvel...
I feel like we've talked about it. We looked it up. It has a number. I can't remember what it was.
199,999. So one shy of 200,000, I believe, is the MCU canon. So in that multiverse, it worked out to where it was He Who Remains. It just happened to be a version of Kang the Conqueror, of which there are several multiverse where there are different Kang the Conquerors and different versions where he's good and bad and anti-hero and all between. We've already talked about him some in the Doctor Doom run. He's like, he was Iron Lad at one point in the future, and then time travel and conquering, and he has a very rich history. But one thing's for sure is that the fallout and the ramifications of episode 6 of Loki is that we're going to get a whole swath of variations of this character.
So I have a question.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Do you think... okay. So, sorry. I had a question, and now I'm rethinking how to phrase it. Mm-hmm. So, yes, now, from that moment, the end moment when Sophie struck home, you know...
It's Sylvie in the show, right?
Oh, did I
her
say
name's, her name? Her actress, Sophie.
Sorry, I meant Sophie.
I think Colby did that earlier in the Discord.
From the moment that she did that, like we shouldn't have instantaneous Kangs everywhere.
No.
Right? Because
I guess they already exist on a different timeline,
but they've been pruning these timelines. We've had one timeline for as long as the MCU has been in existence. So, like, it can't be like Kang shows up tomorrow and he is fully fledged, can it? Because
it depends.
Any spot in the timeline has to have time to develop.
They started branching at the end of episode 6. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What are they branching from?
They're branching from their...
That exact point?
Oh, God. So, yeah, because time is a loop in there. So, yeah.
Because there were a whole bunch of branches already out there.
And 31st century, if you can travel through time, it doesn't matter. So every time, it seems like in the TVA's interpretation, not interpretation, but in their world, all times are happening simultaneously.
Right.
So, okay, forget I said that. Follow up. do you think... How long do you think it's going to be before we actually see Kang in anything other than season 2 of Loki? Do you think he's or is it going to be like a phase?
I think we're
going to
see him in more. I think we got just now. This is going to get in the weeds a little bit, people. So I hope you're ready to stay with us. can we say that we've already seen Kang the Conqueror if in this multiverse he was He Who Remains? He wasn't going around conquering this version of Kang. He didn't even say his name was Kang, but we know that's exactly who it was. It's Jonathan Majors who, I guess, and to answer your question, has been confirmed as a character in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania.
Okay, so we will at least get him.
We will sure get him in that. I'm curious. So there's more confirmed.
Which of him?
Right. Yeah. I think Kang the Conqueror will be in that. I don't know. There's all these loopholes to tie together because also I'm sure some of you have seen there's that it's on TikTok and all social medias at this point. Like there's this little screen grab from the Quantum Realm scenes in Ant-Man and the Wasp that looks like there's this city way off in the distance that looks a lot like the TVA. So who knows if those are the Quantum Realm and the Time Variance Authority, and it's all just all this interconnected mush that we're just supposed to make sense of. But I think we kind of got a version just now of seeing Thanos for the first time, like we did in Guardians of the Galaxy. It was the first time we actually saw him. Well, we saw him in some post-credit snapshots, but I think they're going to start peppering him in there. It would make sense for Kang to be the next big bad.
Yeah.
I guess, maybe. I mean, it's hard to say because we know Fantastic Four is coming out. Hopefully they take their time and don't go straight Galactus right there and they just give us some Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
But even there, Doctor Doom and Kang are so closely intertwined in the comics that maybe we'll see Kang in Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And also, I guess we haven't addressed this yet. It is confirmed at the end of season one, there is going to be a season two of Loki, which is super exciting.
Which, the last bit, I can't remember if I texted this to you or if I was just thinking, trying to how to formulate it. So, the TVA has been the arbiters of time over our multiverse.
Correct.
But he pops up in a different TVA, which makes me think he's not just in a parallel universe.
No.
He's in a parallel multiverse. Like,
I think so. I mean, that's what I thought.
Unless somehow he jumps back and the time has instantly changed. But the TVA should have been beyond that. Like, all of a sudden, I feel like he was in a completely different one.
Yeah.
Like, allowing him, season two, to be, like, he's going to go through and try to figure out what's going on, how to save the multiverse, how to put it back on the sacred timeline, or something like that.
Right.
But also being, like, on the front row seat to all the incursions that will lead us to Secret Wars.
Oh, I have the same thought.
And then he's going to try to come to Earth, whatever the correct, the MCU timeline is, because nothing's going to be affecting him for a while other than the Kangs that pop up in this one. And he's going to come through and be like, guys, we got to fix this. And he's going to be like, hey, Thor, I'm your brother.
Right.
I don't know.
Oh, just that statement. Like, I had the same thought. I was like, we are set up now for Secret Wars. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing is they can do it in 20 years if they want to, and it will make perfect sense. And honestly, the longer they wait to do it, the sweeter of a payoff it'll be.
It wouldn't make sense for it to happen.
Oh, no. It all can't. At once,
because there are infinite worlds that have to collide and
for the event to even make sense to happen. Yeah. But that's what's so cool about it, is they set it up now if they want to do it. I've said this before, I think, on the podcast. Eventually, they're going to have to blow this whole thing up and start over.
Yeah.
And the Secret Wars event is the perfect way to do that, and the perfect way to recast. Mm-hmm. You know, when Tom Holland is 60 years old and not swinging around anymore, and you know, we're going to have a new everyone. The perfect goodbye kiss and fan service moment is going to be a version of Jonathan Hickman's Secret Wars event from Avengers and New Avengers. It's giving me chills just thinking about how beautifully this one episode, I mean,
it just opened a lot of doors.
Oh, yeah. Sliding it opened doors for bringing in mutants and Inhumans and all these new things.
See, I think I thought that in my subconscious. Like, all these things are going to happen, which I've always wondered, how is the MCU timeline going to be rectified to where, like, are mutants starting now?
Mm-hmm.
or have they always been happening in secret? So I guess this could be both, make it both.
Right.
Almost, where it's just like, okay, so the MCU timeline has branches now, and there's nothing to stop them from having always been there now.
Yeah, I feel like they did to the best of their ability, and they being the MCU powers that be, create an opportunity for them to avoid more or less having to make massive retcons and everything still makes sense. Mm-hmm. I would have never guessed that it would have been in a Loki Disney Plus show that they blow the lid off of everything. But
yeah,
they have a lot of leeway now as far as how they're going to proceed with all these new characters. And we don't even have confirmation that X-Men are going to do anything yet. Like, we have some heavy-handed winks with WandaVision and Pietro, or mm-hmm. Fietro, however you want to call it, being a thing. I guess this is kind of related, so I'll mention this here. Have you seen that Deadpool Korg review video?
Yeah. That was hilarious.
So that was just a perfect thing that I think they felt like they had to do it. Ryan Reynolds and Taika Waititi are working on a project together, so they're like, hey, while we're here, let's get you guys to like all but confirm that Deadpool's in the MCU now, sitting with...
He's sitting on the couch with...
With Korg.
Korg, okay.
Yeah.
You just said his name, yeah.
Yeah, so... He's kind of confirmed there, so that's more multiverse silly madness that they can pull from.
I didn't even realize. So Taika Waititi voiced Korg.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense, and I could hear it, because I've watched some interviews with him. Yeah. Whenever they paused on this YouTube video, Taika Waititi falling over, and his arms are up, and his legs are up, and he's like, oh, he's got four arms, you know? And it, just like that whole moment, I was just like, This is fantastic.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
You should go watch it. Maybe if I think about it, for no other reason than it was funny, I'll try to remember to put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah. It was gold.
I'm
trying to think of how to encapsulate everything. Here's something I had a question about afterwards. I was like, wondering, did Sylvie know... So she's the one that kills He Who Remains mm-hmm. and is responsible for all this. She essentially, I don't know if you want to say made the wrong choice, but she absolutely broke the timeline by killing He Who Remains.
Absolutely.
Because he got to a moment where he didn't know what was going to happen next. He said it himself. Like, up until this point, he was prepared. He was using his super fancy Tim pad to basically dodge any attack that they had. He was on 1-Up, and he got to that moment, and he said, it's happening. I don't know what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. And there's this pretty emotional, raw fight between Sylvie and Loki, and Loki believes He Who Remains, and Sylvie still wants to kill him for ruining her life. And Sylvie wins. She kisses Loki, which that's a whole thing to unpack. Mm-hmm. Like, he kissed himself, I guess, or a version of himself. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's for another episode. But anyway, he gets sent back with this Tim pad to that timeline, right? So, and he's just sitting in one of those conference rooms for a while before he runs out and realizes he's in a different timeline. But that happened before she killed He Who Remains.
Yeah.
Before, I guess, I mean, the timelines were branching before.
Yeah, you could.
So, did she knowingly send him to a, not, I don't know if you so call it the know. Wrong or but know. A different one? That's.
I mean, I have to assume she knew that. She wasn't sending him back.
Because she also used... Yeah. I keep wanting to call him Kang, but it wasn't Kang. Yeah. It was He Who Remains. She used He Who Remains' Tim pad thing. It wasn't exactly the same as the one the TVA had, but maybe that one had some extra powers in it to send to ones that hadn't happened yet. I don't know. It's still time travel, and if I start digging too deep, I feel like I might poke holes that I'd in my own canoe.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do that. But I don't know. There's almost so much to talk about that I can't talk about any of it.
Yeah. Do we want to jump over and address the questions we got from our buddy Colby, both through our Discord? Join our Discord, please. Link's in the show notes.
Yeah,
and also our Instagram Live right before we started. He hopped on and gave us asked us some questions. I'll ask the one that he asked on. Oh no, this is. This is, oh, sorry, that was one for the next bonusode.
Right.
So, yeah, Did you get them?
Yeah, I got it right here. We kind of already answered this, but just to make sure that we covered it and clear. Colby asked on the Discord there, he said, I'm not familiar with He Who Remains in the comics beyond the knowledge that I know he was a character. What did you guys think of how they wrapped He Who Remains and Kang the Conqueror into one person? Also, is that comic book canon? So, I loved how they did it. I think it was brilliant. It's a perfect way, especially for his character. It makes sense that in a character who traverses all aspects of time, that one of the variations of him, a variant of Kang, if you will, would end up doing it, making it to the end and being the one that actually got there to start controlling the flow of time. So, super cool. It is not comic book canon, to my knowledge, that that has ever happened before, though. I think that is a MCU liberty, and in my opinion, a brilliant one that absolutely blows over everything open. So, super cool. And then he had one more question on
about
here.
Sylvie.
Yes. So, Colby also asked, now that her glorious purpose is complete, although not with the reboot of the new TVA, I would love to hear you both talk and speculate on Sophie's fate.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't even that. It was...
By the way, he means Sylvie. Sophie's the actress.
Yeah, I didn't even put two and two together. Well, okay. Though the TVA that he ended up in was in a disarray also.
Well, yeah, they were at least aware of the timeline splitting.
So I was just going to say that multiverse might still have something that could be righted.
Right.
That world might be able to be corrected. Sorry. But that's just me thinking, yes, it's a parallel multiverse, not just somehow still on our multiverse, just a universe that somehow developed its own. I don't know. See, that's the question mark. So I just thought of that. That's not an answer to his question. It was just something, an epiphany that wasn't a very epiphanous.
Well, I think it's cool, but I do have questions about what's going to happen to Sylvie, because for all we know, she's still...
Oh, she's got to still be there.
Yeah.
There was nothing that made us think that she's dead now.
Yeah.
It just cut away, so...
So now do we have She Who Remains? So she's... Until a Kang comes... Well...
Because I guess technically she could somehow act as him?
Well, in the episode, he was asking for that.
Yeah.
He said... Well, he wanted both Loki and Sylvie to stay and continue his job. Because
so now it's just Sylvie.
Yeah. So she's there.
But her whole purpose was she wanted to give everybody back their free will.
Free will, correct.
So it would not fit her character to...
Maybe it's the ante. She stays there to make sure that nobody comes to the end of the void to replace that. And maybe that's how we see... She's so popular. I think I read somewhere she's the number one most popular actor or actress on IMDb right now, like, and everybody loves her, and she did a fantastic job. Sophie Martino,
something like that.
I'll Google her name in a minute, but for sure going to be in the next season. There's no way she's not, but maybe she's staying behind to make sure that nobody ever does this again, or at least give it a try before. I mean, there was a very kind of chilling moment whenever He Who Remains was stabbed by Sylvie. He said, "See you soon." Like right before he died. So he knows that versions of himself are going to come for that mantle to control the sacred timeline, if you will, if there even is one anymore. Now it seems that it's
infinite multiverse. Amount of,
We're full into the multiverse. I think if there's anything that we can take away from this, like we'd hinted about it, the Avengers tried to avoid it in Endgame in the time heist. And it's been blown wide open. And I guess it makes sense that it would be blown wide open by Loki.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of fits nicely.
And I just wonder how much is going to be rectified in the Doctor Strange movie. Because I would definitely say we are in a multiverse of madness now.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's supposed to be kind of a horror feel, right? So I don't know what that means. I've also seen some interesting pictures of, like, panels on Twitter.
Right.
Putting Doctor Strange right next to Wanda, right next to Loki.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston was confirmed. He will also be in the Multiverse of Madness. So
maybe working to try to... I don't know. I don't even know what to speculate because I don't know what's happening Marvel world-wise.
Yeah, it's It's hard to say. We don't have one thing that we're missing that is unique of Phase 4 is an Avengers film. It's the only one that does not have at least one Avengers type movie. So I think Thor Love and Thunder is going to be kind of a bunch of character crossover. At least the Guardians of the Galaxy will be in there and maybe some others. I'm not sure. That'll feel like a Civil War film, at least as far as like having a bunch of characters involved. I think Doctor Strange is going to be the other one of those.
It just went over my head and that's back. Loki is definitely going to be in the
Doctor Strange movie. Doctor Strange.
So he finds his way out of his multiverse or his universe.
Or they go to his.
Or it could be something as simple as like, a Vision type thing, I suppose.
Right.
You know, you're just,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. But yeah, that's kind of crazy to think. Okay, so how long has he been confirmed?
They revealed it after yesterday's episode. Okay. They kept it tight ship until everything was done, that there was another season plus. The thing is, we don't know when season 2 is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes you wonder, if we have a Multiverse of Madness Doctor Strange movie, they can't fix it in Loki season 2.
Yeah.
Or suddenly, so who knows if there's going to be, I don't know. I don't even know how to think about it. Yeah. But I think beyond just Wanda and Loki being in Doctor Strange, I think we're going to get, and this is spoilers outside of Loki stuff for people that hate knowing that even the castings, but a multiple Spider-Man film, maybe happening both in Doctor Strange and in the next Spider-Man movie that comes out in December.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that on Twitter too. Yeah. Like people posting one of all three of them be like, it's possible now.
Yeah. Oh, it's very possible.
It was always possible, but.
Right.
At least I suppose it was always possible until Loki happened and we learned about the secret timeline, sacred timeline. Now it was impossible until now. Yeah. So
here's something that I've thought about constantly that I don't know if everybody else has, but this has always been in the back of my mind since we've started Loki. How do you feel about this not being the original Loki? Because he died at Infinity War.
I feel like it still is to a certain extent because it started as him. I don't know. And we did see, this is the one that we started the MCU with.
It's true.
So at least up until Avengers.
As soon as Endgame heist happens, this is a new timeline for that one.
And I suppose also he got to see what happened. So at least mentally, he's gone through some
of the trauma of that.
Yeah. So he's just like, I was supposed to die. He knows all the stuff, everything that happened. So maybe what we ended up with is the better parts.
Right.
Of Loki.
Yeah. I think it definitely works. I mean, I didn't feel like it cheapened Infinity War necessarily. I mean, when you get to time travel.
I never thought that. Yeah.
I'm nervous about how they do that. I think it'll be very tempting for Disney to bring back Robert Downey Jr. I mean, we'll talk about this in another episode. I've already talked about it, but a way that they could do it that would not be completely cheap in regards to Endgame. But they made some big sacrifices, and I think that for stories to like maintain like full and rich, they have to have decisions that matter and sacrifices that matter and not just easily be able to flip a switch. I'm like, just kidding.
Yeah.
But that being said, I didn't feel that it was a cheap move through Loki.
Yeah. And I think it's also different just because if it had been like all this happened off camera and they came back and be like, just kidding, I'm a different Loki. I might have different feelings, but we got to see 6 episodes of him coming to terms with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What else? I mean, we still have all these characters. Nobody died except for He Who Remains that I'm aware of. Judge Renslayer.
Yeah.
We don't know where she went.
Yeah.
She had that interaction with Mobius after he made it out of the void. Yeah. And then she went into somewhere. So this is canon in the comics, I believe. I'll try to confirm this, but I'm pretty sure Renslayer and Kang the Conqueror have a relationship in the comics to some extent. I don't know if that's something that'll happen in season 2, Like, maybe she'll help Kang the Conqueror into the TVA and they develop some sort of relationship. It could be just they are ignoring that aspect of it and just brought her in because she worked as a judge for the TVA.
I've got a really important question. Did you notice the Thanos helicopter?
Yes. Oh, let's talk about episode five. I mean, six was better in that it absolutely developed more than any Disney Plus show or single episode so far where the MCU is going forward. Like, it's not even close in my opinion. But as far as Easter eggs go and just fun, episode five of Loki was a blast.
I wish I knew more about it because I was just looking at it and thinking, okay, I've kind of seen a Loki that looked like that.
Right.
In things before. The Thanos helicopter, I think I've only ever seen in memes.
Yeah. Well, I think it's Super Spidey or Spidey, Super Spidey Special something. It's a weird Spidey name, issue 36 or 39 or something. I could Google it and find out. But Thanos has a helicopter that he just kind of traverses around a city doing Thanos things. Mm-hmm. And that was just a heavy wink to the longtime comic book fans. Also, did you see Throg?
Oh, I didn't catch him. I didn't catch it.
When they do the thing where they're going through the ground and you see this thing bouncing in the jar trying to get the Mjolnir hammer.
Oh, okay. I saw that. I guess I didn't realize
that's what it was. A lot of people thought it was Ant-Man, a version of an Ant-Man that was stuck down there. It was Thor Frog. If you freeze, there's this really good screen grab of it now. It's Thor Frog. Apparently, there were plans for a much longer scene with him, and it was voiced by Chris Hemsworth. And so the little, I think they... It's probably super subtle, but even the struggling sounds were Hemsworth, and he's just in this jar trying to break out and get Mjolnir. Super cool. I love Richard E. Grant as classic Loki, and he had a great moment, and it just worked perfectly. I would watch a classic Loki Disney Plus show for sure.
Totes.
Kid Loki was really cool. I think it was cool that they basically put him as the big Loki on the thing. They were like, why is he in charge? This is when he killed Thor. And that was kind of like snap, you know, this Loki's serious. Also boastful Loki. And then how funny was it? The, you know, President Loki comes in and they're all just backstabbing and betraying each other in a moment because, of course, a room full of Lokis would just constantly be trying to one-up each other.
Did I see that Loki on a cover of a comic book at one point?
Yeah, there was relatively recently in the last few years.
Because I read a Loki
for president
recently, and I was thinking maybe I saw it there.
Yeah. So that was probably one of the more recent versions of Loki.
Cool.
Of course, overnight, Alligator Loki became a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. And there's some actually really fun Funko Pops coming out of Alligator Loki. All of the classic ones that you saw that were important. Nice. I'm really interested in getting that classic Loki one. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Super great episode. Eliath, another big comic book character that was not just an MCU thing, kind of this big angry cloud. Mm-hmm. But done way better than Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, where they try to make Galactus a big angry cloud. That was lame. Super cool episode, mainly just for Easter egg fun and also just a nice dissonance right before the resolution of the final episode.
Yeah.
What else?
I don't know. There was no form to us starting this. I mean, we jumped right to the end. So that's how time travel works.
we were.
Though I did notice, this didn't feel like as much of a time travel show as I thought it would in the end. It was more like...
It was still about
Loki. Time sightseeing.
Yeah.
Like, they it wasn't like, we're going to go back in time and see how it changes things, because that was the whole point.
Right.
You can't change things. So, I got less time travel vibes other than, that very end, you know, when we're like, okay, we've been suppressing it, and now the branches are... You know, all bets are off.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I really liked it. It wasn't the show I thought it was going to be when it started.
I think it's really important to look at the value of what these MCU shows bring. And maybe if we can find a link to it, Kevin Feige just did an interview for Rotten Tomatoes, I think, talking about these shows and what they are and what they mean for the MCU greater. And he made the comment, we have all of these characters that are being... I don't want to say C is an insult, but they're definitely not playing first fiddle, you know. Mm. That pe- people fell in love with, especially Loki. You know, Loki was never had his own thing. He was always in a Thor film or in an Avengers film, but people loved him and wanted to know more. And finally, they have this avenue for Disney Plus to go 6 hours deep on every one of them and really help us get inside the why is Loki the way he is? You know, what does it mean for him to be a Loki, and what happens if he ends up in a place where all of that can change? And I've said before, I hope that they don't try to make every villain a good guy. You know, there's got to be some villains, but I think Loki's the one that I'm willing to give a pass for. Like,
yeah,
at least jump into the anti-hero thing. It's been a fun ride for that show for sure.
Well, I'm sure we could say more, but that seems like a decent time to wrap it up.
Cool.
Especially since this was just a little one-off we wanted to get out. Hopefully we didn't spoil anything for you.
I hope we did.
If we did, you were warned.
Yeah, this was your own
fault.
It's your own dang fault. What's that from? Semi-pro, I think. Will Ferrell reference anyone?
We will be back on Monday.
Yeah.
With our normal drop of the conclusion of our Black Widow run.
Is it already the conclusion that we got that far?
I think so.
I can't remember if we did two or three.
Yeah, because we did three episodes. And
two are out already?
I think two are out already.
Okay. Time.
I've slept since then.
Time.
Yeah. Time is an illusion.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not sure what order these will be released, but as soon as we stop this, we're going to start a little recording of some discussion of the Black Widow movie, which is also going to be spoilerific. So you'll probably get that early also. Hope you enjoy these little mini-sodes.
Yeah.
We just wanted to get them out while they were topical, and because we wanted to talk about them. This whole thing started because we wanted to be nerds and talk about comic books. So
here we are talking about comic books. I know that some of you listening have your own theories. Maybe you think our theories are just flat out wrong, but come tell us on our Discord. There's been some hopping conversations over there already, lots of cool things going on. So let us know what you think, your theories, where you think it's going. Are you excited about season two? Do you think they're going to resolve stuff in Doctor Strange? Anything else on there, we'll have links in the show description. But please come check us out. You can follow us me personally on social media at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman, even though I love the Marvel Universe. Drew, where can they find you?
You can find me at Drew Morris Comp on Twitter, Drew Morris Composer elsewhere. Sorry, I was looking up, trying to find a Discord link that I could just read off, and I wasn't quick enough.
Mm-hmm.
While I was doing that, did you say anything about our two-man socials?
No.
Okay. Come find us on Twitter at two-man comic book with the number two. Instagram and Facebook, we are at Two Man Comic Book Club. And we also have a hotline, 666 Two Man Fan 8. Give us a call there if you want to say something and have it played on the podcast. And yeah, definitely the Discord. We've been having a lot of fun. We've got some fresh blood in there. Had some lively discussions yesterday. We'd like you to be a part of it too. So because I couldn't find a link in the meantime, go down to the show notes. Different podcasting apps seem to be different, where like if you put a link in there, sometimes you can click on it
right,
and it takes you. Like Overcast, I think I was able to click and get directly into Discord. I think Podcatcher didn't let you. So you might have to actually either somehow highlight the link and copy it or write it down, which would be
right,
lame. Or you can go to our blog, twomancomicbookclub.blogspot.com, and the last couple Black Widow episodes, including this one and this Loki and stuff, there should be an actual link that you can click on. So you've got a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can copy down the Discord link and type it in and go there, or you can type in twomancomicbookclub.blogspot.com
right,
and go there. Maybe we'll tweet out a link to it at some point.
Yeah, either way, it's worth finding it and jumping on there. It's going to be a good time. Cool. That's all I got. Anything from you?
No.
All right. We'll see y'all next time on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast. Bye.
The Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our guy in the chair is Torrance Watkins. Logos and design work are by Tessa Price. Original theme music and compositions are by Drew Morris.
Belch.